In this episode, we're going to talk about why you have to start your business today, and we're going to cut through all the excuses on why you haven't started. So if you are in the beginning phases or you want to start, this is definitely the episode for you. And if you are looking to start your detailing business, then make sure you download the ultimate guide to start your detailing business down in the description box or in the show notes if you are whether on Spotify or YouTube. This is a great episode. Let's go ahead and get started. So let me ask you a question. Why have you not started your business yet? Like, what's the excuse? What's the reason? What's that other thing that you need before you get started? Because like, if you really wanted to start a business and, you know, create the business that you want and the lifestyle that you want, it starts by just picking up your phone and texting your friend, coworker, cousin, peer, whoever, and say, hey, can I wash your car for $15? Like, that's the starting point. Right. And the good thing is that's the starting point. Like you're just wanting to start, you know? I mean, so many people contact me like, hey, I'm looking to start. Hey, I want to start, but this, but that, but what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And it's like, you will learn the most once you're actually taking action. Until then, everything is just a hypothetical, right? Like, hey, should I charge $10 or $20 for this service? Should I charge 50 or 60? Should I buy this all-purpose cleaner or that all-purpose cleaner? It's like, these are such small little details that don't matter in the beginning. Like, let's say you underquote heavily, right? Like on your first job, whatever a full detail means to you, and you charge $50 for it, right? You could wait and contemplate and say, oh, well, I need to understand my pricing better and I need to see what I'm going to include in each service, whatever, whatever. Or you can just say yes to whatever service package you want to give out. And you will learn 20 times more of going through that process of giving a price out, doing the work, talking to the customer, finishing the detail, accepting payment. You will learn so much more by going through the bad stuff, by going through underquoting a job versus trying to wait and analyze and project what the proper price or proper thing you should do with that service. Like, you will learn the most when you make a mistake. Right. If things go like if an entire detail for us goes well, meaning the customer contacted us, we talked to them, they didn't hassle, they didn't negotiate on price or anything. We just said 500. They said okay. They drop it off at 9 a.m. We start at 9 a.m. We're done by 1 p.m. They pick it up at 1:30 p.m. We get paid and they go away. Right. We don't learn anything from there because it all went smoothly. It all went as planned. Now, you know, let's say we talk to the customer and we're a bit confused about what they said, but we're like, oh, okay, they probably just meant this one thing. And then they arrive and we're like, oh, that's what they meant. Like, we got confused and I thought they meant this and they meant that. Oh, you know what? Next time someone tells me that, I'm going to clarify with that next question. That way I really know what they're looking to get. And then the customer gets here, the vehicle gets here, and then something's different with the condition. And you're like, oh, man, like, this is actually going to take us an extra 2 hours to complete. Oh, okay, so I know next time if this is the kind of problem, then I need to adjust the pricing and time because, you know, we're going to spend a lot more. You know, it's like you learn way more and you improve your business significantly more when you make mistakes. When everything goes well, what's there to learn from? Like it all went well. Like there was nothing to learn from. Now, granted, you could always learn something from anything, right? Like that, like don't get me wrong. But, you know, generally speaking, The biggest improvements and strides that I've made in my business has been after a mistake. Like, oh, wow, like we dealt with this customer. They were very picky, very bad. Condition was way worse. They wanted more for what they were paying for. Yeah, maybe we should stay away from this kind of customer. And then you learn, oh, okay, so if they kind of show this kind of attitude and these red flags and if they keep on asking for this, like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't work with this kind of customer. You learn a lot more when you make mistakes. So in the beginning phase, you need to be making as many mistakes as you can. Obviously, that doesn't mean you're going to go and like, all right, let me grab this rotary and just, you know, polish the paint if you've never done that before. But even then, like you can't get around mistakes. Like you can't do it. You're like the first 6 months to a year, it's going to be more mistakes than not because you're learning, you're getting experience, you're collecting data points to better understand your business, your services, how long it takes. Like, you know, like that's what it takes. So let me look back here at my notes here. Another great, great, great quote that I love to hear is you can't be great without being frequent, right? So like if you want to get better at your pricing, or you want to get better at talking to customers, or you want to get faster at whatever detail, or you want to get whatever it is, right? You can't improve unless you are consistently doing it, right? Getting those reps in. So, you know, like, it, I don't know if you've, you know, a very popular saying is that 10,000 hour rule, right? Like to master something, it'll take 10,000 hours. But it's very true. Like if you want to get better at detailing, at paint correction, at interior cleaning, at headlight restorations, if you want to get better at talking to customers, at, you know, sending out quotes, at booking customers in, it only comes with repetition. Like you only get better by repetition. So like, for instance, if I, let me look at my notes here so I don't skip ahead. Okay. So like, for instance, when my peak deadlift working out wise, my peak, my best PR personal record is 433.5 pounds for a single rep for deadlift. Right. But in order for me to get to that point, it took me what, 2.5 to 3 years working out, you know, 4 to 6 times per week, programming my deadlifts so that I can work my way up and work my single, right? When I first started working out, I mean, I could probably do a few reps of 135, right? And then slowly over 2.5 to 3 years, I was like, oh, I kind of want to work my way up to as much weight as I can. And the peak of that was a single deadlift of 433.5 pounds, right? But that took 2.5, 3 years to get to that point. And it wasn't until doing repetition, literally repetition after repetition after repetition, week after week, month after month, year after year, that you build up the muscle, you build up the form, you tweak this and tweak that. And at some point, I'm like, okay, let me finally attempt 433.5, you know? And before then, you know, it was like, okay, you know, I started off with 135 pounds and then I went up to, you know, 165, then 195, then 225, then 255. Then 260, then 265, then 270, then 275, then 285, then 295, then 315, then 345, then 365, then 370, then 375, then 380, then 385, then 395, then 400, then 405, then 405.5, then 410. And it was a slow incremental progress to get to that 433.5 PR that I hit. But again, it, like, I could only do that after so many repetitions, after just being, having a single goal for my deadlift, right? No different than you in your business and what you want to do. The same thing I could talk to you about is we have a full-fledged gym in our shop, right? There is a squat rack. There is a lat pull-down machine. There is a dumbbell rack with like 6 sets of dumbbells. We have a leg press machine, a leg extension machine. We have multiple power bars. We have a multi-grip bench bar. We have a cable machine. We have a bunch of stuff, right? And I think in total, it was maybe like somewhere around like $12,000, $14,000 for everything. Now, that sounds like a lot because it is a lot. But before any of that, I didn't even know what the difference was between a weightlifting bar. Like, I didn't know what the difference was between this regular, you know, Olympic size bar that's $150 versus the Rogue power bar that costs $405, right? I didn't know the difference of the different power racks that they offered. I didn't know if I needed a 4-post or a 6-post. I didn't know the difference of what's the power ratio on lat pull down machines. What is the actual fundamental equipment that we need? What brand should I order from? Like, how do I assemble it? Or what do I really need for my workouts? Like, I started off not knowing anything in terms of like buying home gym equipment to outfit our gym. But it was literally like, okay, let me go on YouTube and start finding what people are using in their private gyms, what brands are best, what's our budget friendly, which ones are kind of more on the higher end, which ones do I really need, which one's the best is, like where in the gym are we able to put this? How am I gonna assemble this? How am I gonna put the gym in the shop while still detailing cars? Like, how am I gonna navigate all of this, right? So like, now I can tell you pretty confidently about building a gym and what you need or the cost or what I want or what, like, now because I've you know, I'm at this point 3 years into like building a private gym, that, you know, I have a lot more knowledge, right? But at some point, like every video, like a majority of the videos that I would watch on YouTube were about like home equipment or private gym equipment, or what's like, I just dove deep into like, okay, like what is it that you need? What's the best choice? What are other people saying? What are the reviews? How much does it cost? You know, how long does it take to get here? What brands do I talk to? How much is it going to be? Like, it's just like, I just got inundated with like, okay, I want to learn about this thing. I'm going to keep on learning and learning and learning until I'm confident to see what I want and I'll purchase it. And it's like that with everything. So this is no different than if you wanted to learn to start your business or how to polish paint or how to apply ceramic coating or how to cook or how to dance or how to, you know, do photography. I mean, that's another one. Like right now in this, if whether you're listening to this or watching this on YouTube, I have a Rode Pod. I forget what it's called. I have a Rodecaster Pro is what it's called. Rodecaster Pro for the podcast. I have a Shure Beta 58A mic. I have a cloud lifter connected to it to increase the audio. I have a windscreen to have a clear voice. I have an A74 on a Rode shotgun mic on a Manfrotto tripod with a what brand is this? I don't know. It's a nice brand. So I like it's what most people would be like. Oh, man, that's a really good setup. I didn't know anything about filming or editing videos or editing thumbnails or taking photos or shooting a video or recording audio or starting a podcast or like, I didn't know anything of that back in 2015. Like, I wanted to start a YouTube channel. I was watching like Casey Neistat and I was very inspired by him. And it's like, I want a YouTube channel. So like, okay, what camera do I need? What is a camera? What lens do I need? What do I need a mic? How do I edit software? What software is there on Mac? Like, I didn't know any of these things. You know, now I can tell you, I mean, now for the last almost 9 years now, right? I've been using Final Cut Pro. I've been using Photoshop to edit the thumbnails. I use Canva, Lightroom. For a little bit, I use Adobe Audition and Adobe Premiere. I use Notion to keep track of everything. Like now it's like, okay, I'm well versed for what I need to do for my videos, right? I'm not a cinematographer. I couldn't, you know, dish you out a super, you know, cool looking video with cool edits and sounds and post and color grading and all, like, no, I can't do any of that. But for what I need to learn for my videos on my channel and my social media accounts, I know enough. And you know, if someone comes in here and they're like, "Whoa, this is such a crazy setup, man! Like, you have these podcasts and these cameras, and you have these mics and lights. Like, where did you learn all that?" I'm like, "Well, YouTube. Just over 9 years, I just little by little, I learned what I needed to learn at that given time to help me do what I wanted to do. Right? Like before, I started the podcast maybe like what two years ago, I think, and." You know, like, what did I know about podcasts? I don't know about like editing audio or where do I upload the audio or, you know, how do I promote it or how do I get good audio? And, you know, along the way, there were tons of mistakes made, right? I didn't know I needed a cloud lifter. I didn't know that I needed to, how to edit the audio to make it sound better. I didn't know how to, you know, this was all learned little by little over time, making improvement every single episode that I did. Like every episode for the first like 40 episodes, I made some improvement, right? Like there was never a point where it's like, oh, Oscar just knows what he's doing. I mean, to this point, there's a lot of things I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm just giving you so many examples of like, if you just want to start and you figure it out as you go. Like the last thing that I do here that's the most recent thing that I've done is building a PC. So, you know, I watch YouTube channels like Linus Tech Tips, like Lewis Rossman, Gamers Nexus every now and then. What's the name? J2Sense. And these are like PC builds, tech reviewers kind of guys that focus on PCs or kind of PCs. And, you know, I wasn't planning on building a PC. I would just watch their content because it was good and interesting. And when I was like, man, I kind of want to do some sim racing because I just want to do sim racing. So I was like, okay, well, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do it off a PS5, right? Like I want to get into sim racing. I want to use iRacing and it only works off of a PC. So I was like, okay, I need to learn what all do I need to build a sim rig, right? What's the platform that I'm going to use? What's the monitor? What's the monitor stand? What's the steering wheel, the pedals, and the direct drive that I need? And then the biggest thing that I was stuck on was like, okay, how do you build a PC? Because I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of like learning everything that I need to know because I'm not going to be a PC builder. maybe here over the next few months, I might build another one because I want a second SIM setup. But like, I'm not going to be a PC builder. I'm not going to offer this as a service. I'm not going to help anyone build their PC because I don't want to know more than what I need to know to get the job done. So over like weeks, maybe even months, I spent the time to learn what I needed for my SIM rig, right? What pedals, what's the profile, what's the C, what's the, like, it took months or weeks just to learn that part. And I ordered everything, right? Like I ordered all the actual hardware for the profile, I ordered everything. Like I basically had everything in my possession to build the SIM. And then it came down to the PC. And that's the part that I was kind of neglecting the most because I was like, oh man, like, okay, like now I have to learn how to build this, how to build this PC. And again, I wasn't trying to, okay, I wasn't trying to learn every single aspect of, okay, what's a CPU? What's this? What's that? What fan do I need? What power supply do I need? Like I wanted to keep things as simple as I could because I want to spend so much time learning all the ins and outs of building a PC and what part. So literally like what helped me the most is I went on YouTube and I typed in $1,000 PC build. And then I put Micro Center because my thought process was, okay, whatever this person builds at Micro Center for under $1,000, I'm going to order those exact same parts, follow this exact same guide, and I'm going to build this PC. And that's what I did. Whatever that guy, like, I didn't even care what it was. Like, and in the comments, you would see a bunch of people like, oh, well, you know, for that price, I would have actually swapped this out and used that one because you'd get a better benchmark for this. And you'd, like, I'm sure there's different ways to build a $1,000 PC build. I wasn't worried about anything. I was, all right, this dude is respectable. This dude knows what he's talking about. This dude is highly regarded. I'm just going to literally order everything he has and I'm going to follow that exact guide. And that's what I did. Now, throughout the process, there were some mistakes and some problems because, you know, maybe I was going to order whatever he ordered and then they were out of stock. So then I was like, oh, okay, great. Like, let me see what the alternative is to what this dude was recommending. And then when I get to the Micro Center, they're like, oh, we're actually out of stock out of these. And then I was just like, well, the people at Micro Center are actually super friendly. So they helped me like find an alternative. So that in itself was a big deal. Like just purchasing the things that I needed for a PC build. And just to you guys that are PC builders, like you're probably laughing at me with how like simple it might be for you, but not to me, right? Not to me at all. Like it was very overwhelming, but it was a, to me, it was a big project to take on because I was like, I've never built a PC. I've never seen anyone build a PC. I don't care about, you know, building PCs. I don't want to be a PC builder. If I knew someone that could build PCs, I would have them build me a PC because I don't want to go through this process. So I ordered all the parts and then, you know, I finally got back to the office and I was like, okay, I have everything laid out. I'm going to pull up that YouTube video and all right, we're going to build this PC. And from start to finish, I think building the actual PC, like putting all the components together, took me like 2.5 to 3 hours. Now, what got me stuck was installing Windows on the PC. It took me like 3 hours, 3-4 hours to install Windows on my PC. And the thing is with that, I looked over a very tiny detail in the installation process that it took me like, once I figured out the mistake that I did, I kid you not, it took me like 10 minutes to install the Windows onto the PC. But because I missed a small little detail in the video, I started to diagnose and try to find other ways and do different things to fix the issue. But it was just one tiny little issue that I missed that caused the PC, the installation of Windows to take like 2-4 hours. So now, you know, moving, if I do build another PC because I'd want another SIM here, is that not that I am any more of an expertise or understand or comprehend or am better at building a PC, but at least now I know going through the mistakes that I made, oh, I know what to kind of look out for now on that second build. Oh, okay, I know that it's actually not as intimidating as I thought. And when it comes to the Windows installation process, I know what I have to do to install the Windows properly or at least not take 4 hours, right? So all these things I'm saying, like hopefully if you're still listening to this, like I am just giving you as many examples as I can of things that I've done that I wasn't confident in, that I didn't know what to do, that I didn't know what was going to happen, that I had no clue what this thing was. And it's just like, okay, you just start to learn somewhere and you keep on progressing from there, right? Like, if you look at my, now, you know, after I built the sim rig, you know, the first, the first few months on the sim, like actually in iRacing and driving, I mean, I would spin out so frequently. I didn't know what, like, how, like, I didn't know anything about racing or like racecraft or trail braking or cornering or overtaking or defending or like, I didn't know any of that. But then again, okay, you watch some YouTube videos. I buy a course. I watch coaches on YouTube. I learn. I follow what other people are doing. And then, okay, now look, like, if you compare my first week lap times at the same track with the same car and you compare them now, they're completely different, like entirely different, right? Like now I can actually hop in a race and be very competitive within my class, right? Like contextually within where I am, I can be very competitive. I can qualify for a track and I could be in top five for qualifying. And in the race, I can end up being, you know, top seven, or the last two races, I was top three because I just improve every single day. But you look back when I did my first race, I was so nervous. I was last, like I didn't want to get in anyone's way. I didn't want to spin out. So I was the slowest. I was not competitive at all. But again, like this is just, you start somewhere. You figure it out as you go along. You improve over time. And then at some point, you're like, hey, I'm actually not bad at this, right? It's no different than with you starting your detailing business. No different whatsoever. You're going to start not being the most confident, not understanding everything, not knowing what's going to happen, questioning what you should do. And then little by little, as you get more experience, as you collect more data points, as you work on more cars, as you talk to more people, as you book in more jobs, you're like, so I should do that. I should increase my prices. Oh, that took too long. That's literally all you have to do, right? Like to anyone that said like that, that's been watching me for a while, and or if you're brand new to my content, and you might be thinking, man, this guy has a shop and he has a team and he has a podcast, like, man, like he has it made, or man, like I'm sure he's doing so well off. It's like, yeah, now rewind back to 2014, 2013. It wasn't anything like this. And from 2013, 2014, all the way up until now, it's just getting a little better every single week. It's just trying to make one better decision every single month. It's just taking one step forward from where you currently are. And one step doesn't sound too much, but if you keep at it for 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years, you'll look back and you'll be like, oh, dang, we've come a long way, actually. So at a day-to-day operations, right, taking one step doesn't seem too much, right? It's like, oh, that's just one step. It's not a lot of progress. Okay, but keep that up for 3 months, for 9 months, for 18 months, for 36 months, for 72 months. And you're going to look back and you'll be like, oh, man, we've made some pretty big progress already. Like, that's just how it goes. So if you want to start your business, start it today. Like send a message to someone and be like, hey, I'll wash your car for $15. Boom. You're in business. Congrats. You started your business. You're not making money. That's all it takes right now. You don't need to go get trained. And you can go get trained in the near future, but don't let that stop you from starting now, you know, like, you can start now. Oh, and yeah, go get trained later. You can start now and, oh yeah, buy a pressure washer later. You can start now and be like, oh yeah, I'll go buy the extract later. You can start now and be like, oh yeah, I'll figure out my pricing later. You can start now and do whatever you need to do later, but you can still start now. I'll end it right here. Hopefully this helped you out. I'll talk to you on the next one.